Good morning. I'm Sarah Zung, and this is my husband Mike and my daughter Anna and my parents Grant and Jane Bowerman.
Our family tradition begins on Christmas Eve when we gather at my parents' home. Four generations now. They come from Minnesota, Iowa, Oklahoma, and of course here in Missouri. We have really good food and fellowship. In fact, for those Scandinavians here in the church this morning, my mom makes homemade lefse, if you know what that is, and that's a real treat for us. The highlight of the evening is when we gather together and we all quiet down as a family, and we read that greatest story ever told as it's recorded in the book of Luke, the story of Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem. And then my father, who is the patriarch of our family, offers a prayer for all of us for the past year and the year to come. That's our highlight and our tradition. And then we have a fun time exchanging the gifts where you take numbers. Maybe some of you do that too. That's our family tradition in the Bowerman household.
This morning we will be lighting the candle of joy.
A moment to breathe, time and place to be still. That's where we're at right now. I was driving in to church this morning, looking out across the frozen fields. I saw the crows out there. They had something in their beak. They were finding something to eat, 10-degree weather, and I thought of the scripture in the Psalms that says, when the young ravens call, he feeds them. And sounds a little weird, but I've been thinking a lot about corn lately. Yes, corn. You heard right. Because the scripture says, in Psalm 72, it says, may corn be abundant in the land, like on the mountains up in Lebanon, and when it rustles like a forest. And I don't know if you've ever been out in a winter field walking along or hiking along in the dry stalks of white corn left over, maybe around the edge or somewhere, the wind's rustling those dry stalks of corn, and all the earth is asleep and silent, and it's just the cold, bitter breeze whistling around your head, and somehow the voice of God is there in the cawing of the crows and in the rustling of the corn, and it tells us to be still and to be silent. For we are walking on holy ground as the world sleeps. And I think about that when I think of a silent night, a holy night. Would you do this with me? Sit up straight, put your rear end back in your seat, put your coffee cup down, put your feet flat on the ground, and repeat after me. And if you're a rebel and you don't like doing this sort of thing, then you and I are soul brothers. Close your eyes and bow your head and repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am.
In 13 days, we will celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Savior of us all. The New Testament of the Bible begins with the Christmas story, and it begins with the family tree of Jesus. We have made this into the family tree of Jesus, where each ornament represents a story, and it represents someone from the lineage of Christ. Today, in about 25 minutes, we're going to walk through 500 years of ancient history. We're going to go through 14 generations of the family tree of Jesus. We'll go through four books of the Bible, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We'll even hit a few prophets along the way. So strap yourselves in. And in this lineage, we will uncover the reason why there ought to be joy at Christmas. In order to pull this off, I'm going to need a volunteer from the audience. You do not have to talk or do anything silly. I just need someone to help hang the Christmas tree ornaments on the family tree of Jesus that's way over there. And there's some decisions to be made about where to hang them. So, do I have a volunteer? I hear Sally Reimer. Back from India. Are you game, Sally? Come on up. Oh, we got both, yeah. The nominator has to, yeah, because we didn't ask for nominations, we asked for volunteers. All right. Thank you. If you guys would just be over there by the tree, I'll be with you here in just a moment. Thank you very much. We're in Matthew chapter 1, verse 6 this morning, and it begins, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. We already have an ornament up there for King David, the greatest king of Israel, the Bible says again and again, the slayer of giants, the winner of wars, the writer of poetry and song and psalms and prayers in the scripture. And we spent a lot of time in the summer on King David. And no wonder God chose David to make that promise that he makes in 2 Samuel chapter 7 when God says to David, "Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever." In the highest highs of our story, it's easy to see the joy of Christmas. But right there in our first verse, there's another story embedded in. It says David was the father of Solomon, parentheses, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. And just in that little clause, we're reminded that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And she's the widow of Uriah because she became pregnant, and when her husband Uriah was about to find out, David had him killed. And yet God is keeping his promise to David. Why? Because God is God, and he does not give up on his people. It says that David was the father of Solomon. Now here's where you guys come in. Each ornament represents a person and is symbolized by an electric candle. Sorry if you're at the back, you thought these were real all this time. Switch that on with the switch on the bottom. Should have let you do it. Find a place to hang it on the tree. If we're at a high point in the story of the family tree of Jesus, hang it high on the tree. If we're at a low point, hang it low on the tree. And if at some point during the story you should change your mind about where you put someone, just move them. Okay? So Solomon was blessed with wisdom and riches and a reign beyond any man in Israel by God. Scripture says he was blessed beyond any man in wisdom. Solomon. Not wise enough, though, it seems, to not turn from the worship of God to worship idols at the end of his life. Not wise enough to avoid taking on 700 wives and 300 concubines. I can't pay attention to the one spouse I have. Not wise enough not to put forced labor and high taxes on his people in order to build exotic palaces for himself. Yeah, moving him down a little bit on the family tree. Surely this is not the line of kings God had in mind when he made his promise to David. And some of you are at low points this morning. God gave you everything you should need. And somehow, you messed it up. But you know that God still loves you, don't you? You know that the joy of Christmas is still for you, don't you? Why should there be a story for you and for Solomon? Because God is God, and he does not give up on his people. And Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. And the elders of Israel come to Rehoboam, and they say, "Rehoboam, your father is not a tough act to follow. If you will not lay high taxes on them, and you will not put forced labor on them, the people will follow you." So you know what Rehoboam does? He ignores the elders. He calls his school buddies, who he came up and trained with, and asks them what they think he ought to do, and the advice they give is in 1 Kings chapter 12. "This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. Tell them my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I'm going to beat you with scorpions." And that's the end of the United Israel. There's a rebellion during the reign of Rehoboam, and the promised land is torn into two kingdoms. The upper kingdom keeps the name, Israel. The lower kingdom keeps the capital and becomes Judah. And that's where our attention goes, because the family tree of Jesus comes from the lines of the kings of Judah. And Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah, the scripture says, was a wicked king. He brought fertility cults to Israel. Fertility cults worship the fertility of the land, of the animals, and of the people. And so they did this through use of shrine prostitutes. In a holy shrine, you would have a woman, or sometimes a man, and they would represent a god. And if you wanted a blessing of fertility upon your house, you'd perform a little fertility thing with the god. If you made a good enough offering, you could have ritualistic sex with the shrine prostitute. I'd have to think that would do something for church attendance on a snowy day. But we're not going to try it here. This is what Abijah brings to Israel. And the scripture says God only allowed him to remain on the throne because he had made a promise to David. Why is God still honoring his promise to David with three generations of low points? Because God is God, and he does not give up on his people. And Abijah was the father of Asa. And Asa decides he's going to turn things around. And the interesting thing is that his grandmother is the high priest of one of the priestess of one of these fertility cults. She performs and brings into Israel something called the Asherah pole. It's like a totem. And we know from Sigmund Freud what poles can sometimes represent, and they certainly did in the cult of Asherah. And his grandmother would perform these rituals around the Asherah pole. But Asa decides he's going to turn Israel back to the worship of God, which forces him to say those words that every man is afraid he will someday have to say. Grandma, no more pole dancing. So things are looking up in Israel, and there is joy in Israel again. Many of you are turning your lives back to God this year. Your life and the life of Asa proves that God did not give up on you, and he did not give up on them. He brought you and he brought them back. And Asa is the father of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat. Scripture says Jehoshaphat was a good king who listened to God. And Jehoshaphat was the father of Joram. And Joram comes along and he messes it all up. Joram brings back the cults and the shrines and the fertility worship. In paranoia, he kills his own brothers to keep his throne secure. And how does God feel about his promise now? 2 Kings chapter 8. But the Lord did not want to destroy Judah, for he had made a covenant with David and promised that his descendants would continue to rule, shining like a lamp forever. God is still God, and he doesn't give up on his people. And Joram was the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah was the father of Jotham. We actually don't know very much about Jotham. Makes me think about some of you that we don't know all that much about. You have so many new faces this time of year. Some of you don't have friends yet at Lakeland Community Church. Some of you aren't yet on a ministry team taking part in the mission of what God is doing from this place to the community and the world. Some of you aren't yet in a small group where you can know someone and be known. We can celebrate and be celebrated. And yet, even though we don't know you all that well, God knows you, and his hand is on your life, and you have highs and lows, and you want the joy of Christmas. And I wonder in this new year if you wouldn't allow God to draw you closer to his people. I know this is a terrible time of year to add something new, but after the first of the year, we're going to have a class called Lakeland Essentials. You can learn a lot about the history of the church, but far more importantly, I would get to meet you. Our pastor Dan would get to meet you. Marta would get to meet you. You get to meet others. I'd like to ask you, if those of you who are newer and not yet known, if after the service you go to our guest relations and sign up for the Lakeland Essentials class that will be starting right after the first of the year, so that we can come to know everybody who's getting in this family tree of Jesus. And Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz decides fertility cults are too easy, too cheap, dance around an Asherah pole. No, Ahaz brings the worship of Molech to Israel. Molech's a different kind of fertility god. He is the horned god whose image is a great lower jaw. If you want a blessing of Molech, you lay your firstborn child into his jaws, and you light a fire underneath, and you burn your child to nothing. And now you've got skin in the game, and he'll bless your fields and your livestock. Ahaz brings the worship of Molech to Israel, and he lays his firstborn son on the flames. And it's one of the darkest hours in Scripture. Some of your homes have become dark places. 13 years ago, when Ashley and I got married, we did premarital. Dan actually did our premarital, and he gave us paper and markers. He said, I'd like you to draw up your family trees. So Ashley draws up her tree. I draw up my tree. You know, her tree has forks in it and everything. My tree actually has a square in the middle. That's so low rent. Then he says, I'd like you to mark all the relationships in your family tree that are marred by divorce. So I get to work marking away. And Ashley starts adding branches. What are you doing, dear? She goes, well, I have to get my great aunt into the tree so I can show you our family divorce. Oh. Then Dan says, I'd like you to mark all the relationships that had any abuse or addiction with the letter A. She had a couple. I'm leafing my tree with the letter A. The family tree of Jesus, my, yours, have these dark and ugly parts. Now, in the intervening 13 years, Ashley's family has done their part to catch up, and I am thankful to them for that. I had permission before I said it. We all need the joy of Christmas when we come from these low lows. The question is, in our lowest lows, is there any joy left in the promises of God? And the answer is yes. In fact, God makes new promises. Right into the evil of the Molech worship brought by Ahaz, God sends the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah speaks the word of God right to King Ahaz, and here is some of the stuff that he said. Isaiah 7, look, a virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isaiah 9, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all time. Isaiah 11, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, a new branch, bearing fruit from the old root, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, because in our darkness, God is still God, and he does not give up on his people. And Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah's father was so evil, the only thing left for Hezekiah to do that would resemble teenage rebellion is to turn good. So Hezekiah turns the nation back to the worship of God. He is a breath of fresh air. He is a king like King David, and there is joy again. Some of you have done this and done this well. There was something in your family background, dark, ugly, destructive, but you have overcome it. Your kids are strong. Your mind is healthy. Your finances aren't perfect, but they're better than they were, and they're better than where you came from. You have much to be joyful about this Christmas. You rebelled against your past. You rebelled against this world. You did not let old patterns weigh you down. And you drew near to God, and you are in a different place. If anyone has earned a Merry Christmas, it is you. So have it. count your blessings and celebrate. Now, I know this time of year you have increased contact with your family tree. It can bring you down. Don't let it. Take a moment somewhere to look around and say, Lord, I praise you. What is happening here is no longer part of my everyday existence. And Lord, I pray for all those who are here that they can have the same rescue that I have had, and that I can know you haven't given up on them either, just like you didn't give up on me. And Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. We're all holding our breath for Manasseh. Scripture says, Manasseh ruled in Israel for 55 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord. Manasseh also sacrificed his own son in the fire. He practiced sorcery and divination. He consulted with mediums and psychics. The good of Hezekiah didn't even last one generation. And Manasseh was the father of Ammon. Ammon was his father's son. His own officials assassinated him. Why is it just when things seem to be getting back on track, we slip back? Why do we repeat the mistakes of the past? I can't tell you that. I can only tell you the story of Christmas. And that even when we gain and lose it again, God is God and He does not give up on His people. And this is the joy of Christmas, that Ammon was the father of Josiah. Since Josiah's father was assassinated, he was named king at 8 years old, ruled through a regent until he was 26, and by 26, he's now ruling in his own name. The priests of the temple of God come in and say, King, can we have some money to restore the kingdom, the temple of the Lord? As you know, it hasn't been used for a long time. Josiah says, sure, whatever you need. Who were those guys? The priests go into the temple. They're cleaning out some back rooms. They find an old scroll. They blow it off, unroll it. Uh-oh. It's a book of the law written by Moses that they'd lost. Scholars believe it is the book of Deuteronomy. They take it to the king, say, we found something interesting, and they read it to him. And Josiah realizes they haven't done anything, this book says, for two generations. Josiah goes to the prophetess of the Lord and asks, how mad is God that we have been ignoring his word because we lost it and didn't even miss it for two generations? She says, he's real mad, Josiah. He's going to destroy the kingdom of Judah. And Josiah tears his clothes and he weeps before the Lord and he expresses his regret and his desire to repent and he begs for a second chance. And the prophetess comes back a few days later and says, the Lord has heard you, Josiah, because you express your regret before him. He is going to hold back what he's going to do for one more generation until you are no longer king. One more generation before the Lord. Josiah brings it back. He brings back worship. He brings back the word. He brings back the holidays and the holy days. Josiah is our highest high since King David. The joy of the Lord is back. Does this sound like your life? You used to go to church years ago as a kid, then you quit. But lately something's hit you. You found something. You read something. You heard or experienced something. Maybe it's your new marriage. Maybe it's your new kids. Something has you thinking about God again, and now you're back and you're wondering, how's this going to go? I haven't done this for a long time. Welcome back. I'm not sure where your life was headed during that time when you lost the word of God in your life. And maybe you aren't sure where it's headed either, and that's why you're back. And you might be tempted to feel guilt or shame for the things you did and the things you didn't do when you had lost the word of God in your life. So go ahead and cry and ask for forgiveness and express your regret before God. But know this story, that He is going to extend grace to you. He is going to extend a second life to you. Do you know that He was waiting for just this moment? He was looking out the window. He had the porch light on. He was waiting for you to come home. He has this whole life now. Okay, can I give it to you now? He has a whole sea of things for you to dive into. And this time, he doesn't want you to do it surfacey or checking off the box. He wants you to dive in deep, to explore all there is to explore, to question all there is to question, to find all the answers that there are to find, to experience and swim in the love of God and all the ways there are to do that. God is God, and he did not give up on you. He does not give up on his people, and this brings us joy. And Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers who were born at the time of the exile in Babylon. Jehoiakim and his father, who Matthew leaves out of the genealogy, undid all the good that Josiah had done. Perhaps God knew this was going to happen. The prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Micah are sent to them to tell them, stop it. Stop worshiping every other god. Stop forgetting about the poor. Stop pandering to the wealthy. But they did not stop, and God's patience now wears out. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon rolls into Judah. He razes the temple and the city to the ground. He takes all the people of influence, the leaders, the teachers, the prophets, he gathers them up, and then he scatters them throughout the Babylonian Empire to break their leadership core, to separate them from one another. And this is called the exile. Where are all those promises of God now? Now there is no promised land. Now the people of God are scattered. There is no king from the line of David on the throne anymore. And no light to all nations. Our story has hit rock bottom. Except for a few phrases from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of those who got gathered up and shipped off. He never stopped preaching. He preached even in those lands of exile. His own people got sick of hearing it after a while. They ended up killing him themselves. But before they did that, he laid down a few words for us. Words from the Lord, Jeremiah 30. For my people will serve the Lord their God and their king, descended from David, the king I will raise up for them. So do not be afraid, Jacob my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, says the Lord, for I will bring you home again from distant lands. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. And Jesus, when he took the one cup, said, this is my blood of the new covenant. The prophet Micah wrote in this time, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. And 500 years later, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Thank you, guys. This is not the end of the story. This is only the beginning of the story that Jesus is going to complete. Wherever you are this morning, a high, a low, bouncing from one to the other, this is not the end of your story. You are just coming to the next page of your story, and that page begins, and then Jesus. God is still God. He does not give up on his people. And this is the joy of Christmas, that the family tree continues. Each of these lights, a lamp of hope, in a story of the people God has not forgotten. Each of your names, a story of the people God has not forgotten. If we could represent you on the family tree. We have some ribbons up front. Two ribbons here and two there. We'd like you to come down and write your name on the ribbon as a name of someone God has not given up on. No matter where your spiritual journey is, you are someone God has not given up on. So I'd like to invite you to come down the center rows and go down each side of the table and write your name. And then come down the back, the outside, and we'll finish together in worship and prayer. So come forward, you who are not forgotten by God, and add your name to the family tree of Jesus and the roles of God. Amen. The Lord is also near to the brokenhearted. And if you need something a little more because your heart is broken this morning, after the sanctuary empties, and please do that quietly, back in the back corner there'll be a special and short service of prayer and communion for those of you who need that time and would like that time here this morning. We want to have that with you. We know Christmas comes at all of us differently. So now let us have our Advent benediction. This is where we remember that God had the power to send Jesus through this once, so he will do it again. This reminds us that we are like the people before who waited for our Savior to come. So I'll read the small words and you read the large together, and we'll close this way. Watch and pray.
The Lord will come.
Those who are longing await his appearing.
Those who listen, hear his cry.
Watch, wait, and listen. Go forth in joy.